Here's Wilson, and on the right side, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bouchard.
Braden Holtby!
Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is the Blue Liner on Point. Bid you welcome, all you fans out there in the Commonwealth of Virginia, the state of Maryland, and the District of Columbia, and around the globe. And with me, as always, checking in live to tape from Centerville, Virginia, is the lovely, beautiful, wonderful, and talented Anna Knox.
So good for my ego. That should be my intro, like, into my classroom every day, and it should be how I answer the phone. Wouldn't that be great?
Well, I work cheap.
You do. You do. You're good like that. But yes. Hello, Cap fans.
Yes, and so it's getting to that time of year again, which has caused a good amount of joy and despair for all Caps fans. But we're going to focus on the good, or as much of it as we can. And so the good news, of course, being that not only have our Washington Capitals clinched a playoff berth again, they have clinched the Metro Division title.
Awesome.
Which guarantees them home ice advantage for, at the very least, the first two rounds of this coming playoffs.
Love it.
Now, of course, there's still a few games left to go, and a bit of an admin note here. We will, and when I say we, I mean both Anna and I and our resident expert, Chris Levesque, will be doing a show, recording a show this coming Saturday evening as the season winds down. That happens to be the last game on the schedule against the New Jersey Devils. 7 o'clock puck drop for that. And so we'll be recording then. Probably watching the game at the same time, and give something of a playoff preview. A little more bang for your buck out there for our Triple P fans. Yeah, we'll give the potential first-round matchups, maybe go over all 8 matchups in the first round and see what the Caps are looking for. If you've been paying attention to our Facebook room, we've already got some ideas that we've thrown around as far as major hot topics. So you might notice we're gonna go light on the substance here. We're gonna save everything as far as analysis for that recording. So stay tuned, and that'll be available later on in the weekend. So when we last left you, It was the just before. I believe it was the night of, it was 1 week ago, exactly.
Right.
It was the night of the
Rangers.
First end of the home-and-home with the Rangers.
Right, no, it wasn't. Yes, you're right, home-and-home, yeah. Yes.
That part of it was a really good game. Now, if you've been paying attention to the show, Anna and I have had a bit of a back-and-forth and a to-and-fro and a in-and-out or however you want to put it, about one T.J. Oshie. And number 77 happened to open the scoring.
Mm-hmm.
Open the scoring
in
this one.
You set yourself up for that one, but yeah.
I know oh. I did. Good. May we burn in hell and hope the kiddos aren't listening.
They're not, and I said I'd be good.
I know, and I said I would be too. Sometime.
Yeah.
Anyway, so T.J. Oshie opens the scoring with his 17th. Matt Niskanen follows up a couple minutes later with his 7th, and then Ovechkin gets his 45th, and the rout was on. And then Evgeny Kuznetsov added his 24th for the 4-0 lead. All this in the first period. Pardon me.
What are you drinking there, Gil?
Oh, thanks for reminding me. I'm going to relax a bit and do the old Scotty Farrell here and hope you're hearing that out there in Caps Land. But
it better be something good and not something stupid like some, you know, sparkling water or something.
Oh no. Nothing. I already had that. Already been good today. No, this is good old fashioned
lemonade
lager beer.
Oh, look at you. What a proud moment.
Been a long day as it is already. Okay.
All right. So yeah, I know.
That's what the edit machine is for.
I will say, there were a couple people that had listened to the show, and they did bust out laughing with the whistle over my my profanity from last week.
I'll make a note of that.
Don't do that. I mean, if we really did it for everything I said, that would be like 90% of the show listening to that and that sound. But they did find it funny, so. Just letting you know. But yes, so let's go back to this TJ Oshie thing.
Yeah, let's. No. He came back. In the context of this game, I mean, I thought, okay, well, you can't say he was a step slow or whatever, because he looked pretty good on that opening wrister of a goal.
Yeah.
Okay, so you'll give me that. You'll
I'll give it to you, yeah. You're just making it too easy tonight, Gil. No, I'll give that to you. But we're also talking about him scoring 250 in the first period. So yeah, in the beginning, and the next time he does score, when they're playing against Pittsburgh, is also in the first period. So all I'm saying is, and here let me pull the Gil hat for the stats and stuff like that, because I thought, you know what? Maybe I am just totally out in left field, which is like the majority of the time. And I thought, you know, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, which totally is true the majority of the time. But I happened to look up TJ Oshie's history, like his career history, just to like double check to be sure that, because, you know, if I'm wrong, I would absolutely, you know, stand up, soapbox it and say I was wrong, Gil was right. But this is where this is coming from. And I only just going to pull up the 16-17 season last year. He played 68 games and had 33 goals. This was last season. This season, he's played 72 games and has scored 17 goals. Now,
okay, so my turn to be
moving on to the next player. Let's talk about Beegs.
Well,
go ahead.
Let's talk about him and let's pray for him at the same time, because
we need him.
Yeah, well, I don't know. That's one thing I think Chris wanted to kick around.
That's true. Like we said, we would talk about injuries and stuff on Saturday.
I say kick around, and it may not be appropriate to say kick when there were groin injuries aplenty.
Eek.
Yeah, because you had Oshie out for the one game.
Mm-hmm.
Was he even out for a whole game? I don't know that he was.
I don't think so.
Because it happened. Let's see, it happened in the Carolina game, and he came back.
Yeah.
He came back and played in Pittsburgh.
Well,
so whatever happened,
because that's what sparked Malkin being a total douchebag, was the whole fight between Malkin and Oshie. So yeah, he came back. But let's get back to, okay. So I put my thing out there. I'm not knocking TJ Oshie. I love the guy. I've said it before. I'm just saying I think he's not playing like how he did last year. And I get it. He was injured. But I'm just trying to prove a point that last year he was at 33 and this year he's at like 17.
Well, all right.
Go ahead.
So not to make excuses for the man, but I mean, it was kind of, how do I put this? I don't want to say expected, but the man was signed to a big contract, and I mean, we all know what usually happens when you get when you land a big contract, and the expectations are a lot higher.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, there's an under deliverance of results.
Well, I don't think that the expectations are any higher when you are signed to big contract. I think that the expectations are to remain consistent.
Yeah, and some argued that the numbers that Oshie put up were unsustainable. And some of those naysayers are looking pretty smart right about now. But I say there is still the playoffs to come. And with Oshie just now hitting his stride at the right time, and not only that, but overcoming injuries,
mm-hmm.
I would say the best is yet to come.
Okay. I truly hope so. I truly, truly hope so. It's not like we're talking about Orpik where we just can't, it's like really hard to compliment the guy. It's like, you know, when you're, someone gives you a yearbook and you're like, oh, I don't want to sign
suddenly.
This. I don't want to sign this because you're so annoying. And it's like, hey, you're really nice. Have a great summer. That's, you know, that's my Orpik thing. But with
okay, so you're talking about Brooks Orpik and giving me flashbacks to yearbook. Suddenly I need another drink.
But it makes sense. Or did you not anybody sign your yearbook? I mean, come on. There were people.
Oh, I had plenty. I had plenty of people sign my yearbook.
People that sign your yearbook who have like all these inside jokes and it's all hilarious and you're BFFs and keep in touch and all that kind of stuff. And then you have the person that you're like, I really can't stand them, but I'm not going to be a total jerk. So I'm going to tell them, hey, you're cool or you're nice. See you next year. And that's kind of how, you know, I am with Orpik. So when it comes to Oshie, I only want the best for the guy. But when you're telling me, when I say that I think he still looks like there's a little bit of a hesitation and I feel like maybe he's playing injured. But am I super excited? Did I cheer for him when he scored? Of course. Was I hoping he would, you know, take out Malkin? Absolutely. I'm not against the guy. I'm just saying his numbers last year, a little bit different. Let's hope. Let's hope he, you know, is over the injury hump and he can go into his playoffs and completely kick ass. But I just putting it out there what it was last year and what it is this
okay.
year.
Okay. All right. And then that's fine. So thus endeth our debate on TJ Oshie, I guess.
With a win on my end.
No.
No.
That's it's more like a to be continued.
Ugh. Okay.
Oh, it's a soap opera.
It kind of is. Like this is
it never ends.
This is where you will like, you know, put in that dramatic organ music, pause when you're editing, and then we're going to move on to the next thing to be continued.
Okay. I like cheese, but that's a little too much.
It's just funny.
It says you.
Right. I get.
Boy.
Moving on to the home game.
Okay. So the tail end of the home and tail end. Oh boy.
Have another one. I can hold my liquor just have so another, well.
Have another donut. So the back end, boy, I'm digging a hole here. The second half of the home and home.
Yes.
At home.
Yes.
In the Capital One Arena. Okay, so this one was a bit closer than we would have liked. Perennial Capital Killer Kevin Hayes, God, I'm sick of seeing him.
Yeah.
Scored the opener with a fine second-year player, Jimmy Vesey, and a guy named Brady Shkijic. I can't say his name, obviously, assisting. But a nice comeback by Andrei Burakovsky with about 33 seconds left in the period to tie it. Mm-hmm. Always the backbreaker goal. And, of course, nothing in the second. And Rangers went up 2-1, and it looked like they were going to win. But to the rescue rides our favorite third line center, our only third line center, Mr. Lars Eller,
with the
wrist shot, and ably assisted by both Nicky Backstrom and Kuznetsov again. And guess who comes back in the 3-on-3 overtime to get the game winner? Kuznetsov again. So clearly the star of those two games was number 92.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
Oh, absolutely. I actually, if we can just go back to that Oshie thing, just kidding. If we can go back to the first Rangers game, we have completely left out a star person in that game, which is Grubauer. I like everything about him these days. I did in the beginning, and I like it now. And he was 28 for 30 at that game, and they brought Holpe in for this one, which I think we talked about before, whether it was with you or Sports on the Hill. And they, you know what, it might have been Sports on the Hill, and Carol asked who, how we should do the, you know, Grubauer Holpe thing. And I always felt like, you know, with Holpe not doing 100%, I'd rather have him play at home with the fans kind of rallying behind him and doing, and he looked good. He probably looked the best that I've seen in a while. But there was still a couple of moments that I was like, oh, like, he's just, I don't know. He was 35 for 37. So, like, it's still a win. And I'm still glad he got it because I feel like he's still in that terrible headspace. And this is just only going to, I think for him, only going to get better going into the playoffs. Let's hope.
I was going to say, even so, I think he had a very good game, good enough to be rated the number two star.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty good, actually. I mean, I wouldn't want to be number two anything, but that's still pretty good. I think he had a very good game, very solid game.
Yeah.
And like you said, he's working his way back in, and Grubauer had a pretty good game himself in the opener,
right?
But again, I love Grubauer. I don't want to get too far away from him, but I mean, come on, those two games, obviously, you have to say, Kuznetsov really, really stepped up.
Oh, hell yeah.
And that's something you got to give praise for. You got to notice.
Oh, no, absolutely. I was going to say, I have it in my notes so I don't forget. I have a big star next to 92 feeling like he gets, like, that overtime goal alone in the Rangers game, it was awesome. It's like he just, you know, he missed a couple or, you know, missed the chances, and it was like, oh, so close. And he just got it in his head, like, no, going into overtime, we're ending this, and I'm going to end it now. And he was so determined. It was awesome to see. And the fact that it was like 30 seconds into the OT period to, you know, shut the game down, good for him. And we just need to keep with that. That's some good mojo going there. So I admire him, and he's the kind of player that you want who's, you know, gonna not let nerves rattle, stay focused. And him and Backstrom knows where to, you know, who to pass it to, and does it at the right time, and is amazing. And then you have Kuzi, who can just make these sick shots, and good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought he was fan-damn-tastic both of these games, and really looking for him to keep it up. So that's his 25th goal, 77th point. He's on the point per game pace, and that's all you can ask for the guy, and he's absolutely wonderful. So I really don't know what else to say.
You have a big man crush.
You're praising him. I'm praising him. So
let's fight about something.
No. I want to keep going with this because Anna, you and me, I think it's plain to see we got a koozie kind of love.
Fucking Gil. See, now you've taken it and ruined it. Totally ruined it. You didn't have to take it and go all Phil Collins cheesy, but you did. Okay, so then since we're riding a high and we're both feeling pretty good, how about we talk about number 63 making his appearance, Mr. Shane?
So this is where you and I might get into
not so much a groovy type kind of love.
I was gonna say more of a couple's fight, except that we're not one,
right?
You
didn't think he was okay?
No. For my part, I liked his aggressiveness. Mm-hmm. I liked his speed. I liked what he did with the puck. What I don't like is the fact that he only. I mean, you and I have fought about this before. What happened? He got one shot. He got his one moment. He got all of. I love saying that. I don't like the fact. It sounds like I'm going to go off on a tangent, but go with me on this. I don't like the fact that overtime is 5 minutes. Because as I will tell any hockey fan, 5 minutes of overtime is like 15 seconds of sex.
I'm going to hold my comments to myself. All right. Well, I'm hoping you're not speaking from experience. That's what I was going to say. But anyways.
I will hold my comments off on that. But the point I'm trying to make is, for what little time that he got, Gersich looked very, very good. Mm-hmm. Why aren't we allowed to see more?
I agree.
You do?
I do.
Because in the past you were like, you're on the biggest stage. You're one of 20,000. You need to make your moment count when you're on the ice. And if you don't get another chance...
Right. No.
Go sit on the bench.
Right. Because, now, not every single time a rookie comes into the line are they going to score. They have to do something to earn their way back into another game. I thought he had a great game. I like the kid. I think he has got... absolute skill, and I said last week I'm gonna like him and Brana together. Not together, like I don't think they'll be on the same line, but I like their speed, I like their skill. I don't know what the hell's been going on with Brana recently though. I need to call him or something and loop number 13 back to all this speed and all this skill, and then what happens when you're, 2 feet away from scoring and it doesn't happen. I thought 63 was awesome. I thought he had a great first game. I really did.
I did too.
But I don't understand why when he came out and he played the Rangers game, we could have used him at Carolina because that game sucked. And I would have been okay
you've heard me mention this phrase before. That's another game where you draw the line through it and, like, just forget about it.
Carolina?
That game. Yeah, that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what happened there, but, yeah, that's just one of those where, yeah, I don't know if the team was just off or they didn't show up or what. Yeah. I don't know. It just wasn't going to be their night. And of course, let's see. Review the scoring here. Oh yeah, my favorite player, him with the clone, Mr. Owl, scored.
I forgot you didn't like him.
You know I had to mention him.
I know.
But that game
sucked.
You draw a line through.
I mean,
that sucked for. It sucked out loud, if that's even possible.
Again?
What'd I say now?
Nothing. I said I was keeping it to myself. But you just keep on sucking out loud and we'll move forward with this. Yeah, I agree. We don't have to talk about the Carolina game. You've,
Oh, definitely not.
It was bad. You've got, But I will say at least this. Yay, Kempney. Nice to see him on the scoreboard. You and I praised him last week. I was glad to see that he scored. I was not glad that it was our only goal. And they just look like crap. They really did. And I don't know. I think sometimes the Caps fans as a whole underestimate Carolina, and we really need to stop doing that. Because we've seen it. Yeah. We've seen it with other games where we're like, oh, yeah, you know, we're going up against so-and-so, and, you know, our record is this, and, you know, we're so many points and so many games ahead of them, and then we get our asses handed to us. Not a way to go into a game at all, ever. So I feel like they kind of were like, oh, hey, we're riding off this high with the Rangers, and I'm going to go be like, oh, whatever, Carolina, and get ready for the Pens, and it's like, fucking hey. So, yeah. So I'm going to turn the page. Bob Seger would say on the Carolina game, so we can talk about Pittsburgh.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Kempney, though, because I thought he had one of his worst games in the next game. He didn't look all that great in this game, but fortunately everybody else, wow.
Mm-hmm.
the rest of the team really brought their A game, especially going back to Herr Grubauer, who was named the number one star.
God, that you watched the whole game, right? Or were you listening to it?
I did. No, I wasn't. Pardon me. I was not on the road. So no, I did see the whole game.
All right, Gil.
And Gil, yes,
it was just a yes or no question. Did you see the game?
Yes.
Okay, that's all you had to say. Because I was going to say, since you're talking about Grubauer, that the entire game could be wrapped up in a looping of Sidney Crosby shooting and getting denied. Shooting and getting denied. That, to me, was Philip Grubauer's best save. And probably, for him, the biggest ego boost ever. To be like, yeah. That's right, Crosby, bitch. So I loved it. I thought the whole team looked great. My boy Tommy, how sick was that goal? Come on.
Well, but getting back to Grubauer for a moment, and this is the only time I'm going to say it here on this episode.
Don't jinx it.
No. Not jinxing anything. Pardon me. We have found something here that might finally be the difference maker. That's all I'm going to say about that, and we're going to go into this into a lot more detail with Chris on the Saturday night show.
Ooh, cliffhanger.
The playoff preview. And so again, do please tune in for that. We won't be live. It'll be another podcast episode, but I don't know. I feel like I've found a cheat code to crack that game, that level where I can't get past the bad guy. You know, I played it 51,000 times, but I finally found that one cheat code that'll get me past him. And I think we may well have finally found that. But yep. Again, we'll go into that more on the next show.
That sounds like a jinx.
What? No.
Yeah,
no, it does not.
It kind of does.
Trust me.
All right.
You watch the game, too. You know what I'm talking about.
I do. But I'm praising him for all other kinds of reasons, and you're making it. All right.
Making what?
No, if I keep talking about it, then it is really going to be a jinx.
No. You're the one that keeps saying you don't want to be the Debbie Downer. You don't want to be negative. You don't want to follow the pattern of DC sports fans.
True.
And
which
be all who? Oh God, here we go again.
Right. But then.
Here we go again.
Right. But then for you to come out and say, "Hey, I think we," you know, like.
Like
that you're really not going to like what I have to say Saturday then.
All right. I'll be ready.
Did you not watch that game last night?
Yes, I did.
Okay, then you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do, but we need to stop talking about it. He had a great game. Amazing.
And you think that's it?
No.
That's all there is, just that one game.
But I'm not going to put all my eggs in one basket, because you can't.
And, okay, yeah, I get that. And that's why I mentioned, I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, that we happen to have now a 1-1A goalie situation.
Right.
Where we can probably plug in either or. So if one has an off night, the other can go in. You can win a Stanley Cup with two goalies.
Right.
All I'm saying is, I am not the least bit concerned about our goalie situation.
Okay, good.
Others may be. I am not.
Okay.
This is an awesome problem to have.
Agreed.
Two good goalies who can be ridden and win in the playoffs.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying right now.
All right. We're good.
Okay. Don't make an A cup out of... don't make a D cup out of...
Stop. Stop. Just serious.
All right. So anyway, the game itself was a cavalcade of power play opportunities, 10 in total, 5 each. Oh, imagine that. The refs called it down the middle.
Right. They need to take it down the middle.
Yeah. Then you won't believe this. 24 minutes in penalties for the Penguins versus 14 for the good guys.
Right, but...
Can you believe that?
I don't, only because I feel like there were missed calls. Obviously, there always is with that team. And that crap move at the end with Malkin. I mean, give me a break already. God, I hate that guy.
I'm not gonna give him a pass, but
he threw a stick into the Caps players.
Clearly, he was frustrated. Clearly, they had gotten in his head, as it were. So that is something they need to package and feed themselves over and over and over again. Like a steady diet of I don't know what, and just keep on living off of that till, I don't know, say June,
right?
Maybe, because if they can repeat that, then they might very well go far.
Then our whole team should be taking a crash course in like Rosetta Stone Russian. that pissed him off. And that was awesome. And I watched his interview after the game and thought, God, you're such a... I hate the word pussy, but he is. I really hate that word. But he is. Like, he's a dirty player. He's a loudmouth, and he's throwing a stick. And he's... I mean, the fact that he's, you know, being held back to go out, and he still just can't let it go. So that, between that and then having to watch how many times Sidney Crosby interacts with the refs, that's not okay.
Oh, well, he's a certified whiner. Everybody knows that.
Absolutely.
The
but
whole
that's what I'm saying. It's like,
league knows that.
Why can't we ever get a ref out there who's like, listen, a-hole, play the freaking game and shut up. But no,
they did. Somebody did once. Earlier in the year, somebody did. Give him an unsportsmanlike and for mouthing off.
Yeah.
It did happen.
And I don't, like, I think there was a couple of us that were kind of going back and forth on our Facebook page about, like, the Pittsburgh Arena, because I don't want to call it by its name, that team could have really redeemed themselves by acknowledging Ovechkin's 1,000th game. I'm not asking.
Oh, they weren't gonna.
I'm not asking for fanfare. I'm not asking for balloon drops or confetti. But you could have at least said, you know, because I mean, like, I've been at baseball games. Like, I'm a Red Sox fan, and so if I go and see them at the Orioles, at Camden Yards, they will. If there's something to be said about someone on the Sox that are, you know, hit a milestone or something, whatever. It was. I've been there when it's been acknowledged, and O's fans have clapped for the Red Sox players because that's just what you do. But for some, I mean, I just thought, like, okay, so it was in poor taste. All right, I don't know what Capital One Arena would have done if we had to acknowledge Sidney Crosby. Maybe that needs to be the argument. But I was really, really pissed that the commentators downplayed it. The just everybody involved downplayed this. And every time he was brought up, Ovechkin did that. But let's talk about Sidney Crosby. Let's talk about Crosby and this, this, and this. And this was out Milbury on there, who, you know, I fucking hate that guy. But this is just like, I was at a point where, yeah, I wound up muting it because, and I know there's a bunch of other people who are like, I have to mute it. I didn't, you know, like you think it couldn't be that bad this late into the season. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Cause I don't ever hear Joe B, you know, Locker, Alan May, any of those guys never ever poorly and rudely talk about the opposing team and their opinion on them. But man, these guys don't hold back. And you know, they're just like, oh yeah, whatever.
Well, look, I mean, there's a reason why everybody here, you know, the Caps fans in the area don't like the NBC coverage.
Right.
Because it's more, how do I put this? It could not be more obvious
who they're pulling
if you wrote it on a burning bush, you know, who they would like to see do well.
Right.
It cannot be more obvious, and it's sickening, but what are you going to do about it? I mean,
right,
not watch the game?
No, I just don't listen to them. But I feel like if you are going into sports commentating, you are to go in and you have to be completely unbiased. Like, I would have a really difficult time going if I had to do, you know, if it was hockey or if I had to do football. And go in and say, okay, hey, here's the team I used to play for that traded me, or, you know, who was our biggest rival? And you have to go out there and you call the plays. And if it was a good play, you say it was a good play. If it was a good stop, it was a good stop. If it was a good touchdown, you say it. But I feel like they don't do that. And like, I don't understand how that's acceptable. I find it just frustrating. And I know it's never going to change. But that just makes me like our guys that much more. Because you can hear them. They will say so-and-so had a great shot or so-and-so had a really good night. You don't get that from that NBC. And it's just, and Mike Milbury, oh, I swear to God. I hope I never see him face-to-face because I just really, although somebody did put something up that like however many years ago he, you know, beat some guy up in the stands. When he was playing for the Bruins with a shoe or something.
Yeah, it's what he's famous for.
And I just, and no, but like just the fact that they were like on this date, I thought, God, see, this is how people remember you. Like you were an asshole player for the Bruins and now you're this, you know.
There's a failed general manager of two teams.
Yeah. And like he no personality and all he, and I'm like, you know, it's the level of love to Sidney Crosby, man, like I would love to sit down with Sidney Crosby and just to talk with him and be like, what is it about you that these guys are just completely like bromance in love with you? It's so over the top. It's really kind of disgusting. Whatever.
Kind of. Just a little.
No, not even kind of. Yeah. Let's just say it is totally gross.
over it. Puke worthy. All right, I'm off my soapbox. You could
it's fine.
Totally edit
well,
that.
We'll see. I mean, some other highlights of the game. Dmitry Orlov got his 10th. Kuznetsov, yet another assist.
Tommy.
Yeah, I was just getting to that. Last week we talked about his bringing a pair.
Yeah.
Now he just gives tips. It was a tip in goal.
I know. It's the way you say it, though.
Huh?
It's the way you say it.
The way I say what?
That now he brings tips. Just.
He's tipping it.
Yeah, he is, but it's just the way you say it. It just sounds.
You didn't like that?
No, it sounds very Gill-ish. So, no, I thought it was awesome. I liked it, and yes, it was a tip-in. But we also need to talk about Orlov, and we talked about that last week. He was brought up that, you know, he could be frustrated in the sense that he does something amazing, and then he's kind of flat. And we hadn't really heard a whole lot about him recently. So
he was not flat. Not last
not
night.
No, that's what I mean. Like when we talked last week, we said, you know, he's that kind of player where he's like really awesome and then he can go kind of flat. And we wanted to see more from him. So I was so glad to see him on the scoreboard last night. And that was great. And I just thought they just looked damn good last night. And I need to keep that. Keep that going and hope that and Grubauer, man, so good. So good.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, we'll talk about Saturday. Don't jinx it. Who's playing goalie tonight? Do we know?
I have not heard.
Okay, I haven't either. I haven't seen the lineup
Let
yet.
Me, no. Well, oh, hold on. Let me check the... Twitternomics here.
Come on, go outside. Go. Outside. Come on. I'm going to take a girl. Come back in. Okay. No. Stop eating slippers. Go. Outside. Go play. You'll have to edit this part. Sorry.
Yeah, I kind of figured.
Yeah, it's like I'm in my laundry room and I'm letting her out because she came down and found the bathroom and was like, oh, hey, look, toilet paper.
You may have won a free iPhone.
Hey, look at that.
I don't like the one I got. Thank you very much. All right, let me finish this story. Thank you.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything about tonight, so.
Okay, Capitals projected lineup against the Blues. Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Burakovsky, Backstrom,
Eller.
Oshie.
Oh, okay.
Vrana, Eller, Smith, Pelly.
Oh, good. Okay.
That sounds like a porn star's law firm.
Could be.
And Chiasson, Stevenson, and Connolly on the fourth line.
All right.
I don't get that one, but okay.
That's okay.
Defense pairings. No.
Shane.
No Shane. Mr. Frenchie. Mr. French is on the left wing on the fourth line.
Leave.
That'll be a tickle to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Let's. Whew, I thought you'd react like that.
Yep.
Let's see. Defense pairings: Kempe, Carlson, Orlov, Niskanen, Orpik, Jerebek, and starting goalie Braden Holtby.
Okay. All right.
You'd expect that because Grubauer had that you know, kind of a tough game. It was a late game. So a bit of a late game, too.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So makes sense for Holtby to get the start against the Blues. They've already clinched. It's a nothing game. I don't want to say it's a nothing game. It means something for the Blues. They're fighting for a playoff spot, actually.
Right.
So they're going to come.
But then why wouldn't they play number 63?
I don't know. Right? I would have at least put him on the fourth line.
Yeah.
Or on the third line with Vrana. And this is where you and I are going to disagree, but I mean, this is one of those times where I just don't understand what the coaching staff is thinking.
Right. Well, and I understand that they're doing it because, you know, like I've said pretty much all season, is that Barry Trotz is one of those people who wants the opponents to not know a predictable lineup when it comes to the Caps, which is fine. However, with Beaks out, you know, like, I don't know. It's a little too, there has to be a reason. There has to be a reason my number 63 isn't in, but I would have put him in unless they're waiting for, who else do we have? We have the Devils, and who's the game before that?
Nashville.
Oh.
Finland!
Yeah. That's a game that's going to be full of that.
Yeah, that's going to. But I don't have so much animosity towards them. They're just a damn freaking good team.
They're almost too good.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hoping they just keep up and that game not be like a letdown or anything.
I agree.
Like that.
I agree.
That's all I'm hoping for there.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so checking the rest of the schedule. Okay, so it's right. So it's the Blues tonight.
Yeah.
The Predators in Smashville. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
On the road? No. That one's at home.
Our last two are at home. Our last two are at home.
Yeah. Right. So tonight is actually the final road game.
Okay. Good.
And then it's we host the Predators Thursday night, 7:00 puck drop. That's April 5th, and then the Saturday after that is the season ender.
Yeah, and we'll be watching it.
Yeah, against the Devils.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So depending on how their week goes, they may have either clinched or will be fighting for one of the last playoff spots mm-hmm. on that night.
Right. Well, and the thing I just had a thought. I mean, you could always go Facebook Live, and Chris and I just call in. Oh, no, I guess you can't. Never mind. Forget I said that.
We can do the Skype thing.
Okay, good. Yeah.
All three of us.
We'll do that.
I think we can, yeah.
A threesome's always a fun thing. I had to.
And I thought I was digging a hole.
Yeah, no, you see, your holes were light. Anywho.
Okay. All right, so, God.
It's a good one.
Yeah, I'll say. All right, so yeah, we're looks like we're gonna have to wrap it up here. Clock on the wall is running out here, so once again, Kuzi kind of love, and I hope he keeps it up, and catch us again later on this week. So we'll have two shows this week before our next big one next week. So for Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off, reminding you that two wrongs never make a right, but three rights always make a left. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
And we're out. God, are we out.
She came down and found the bathroom and was like, oh, hey, love toilet paper. Ah, you love me.